time for Bookworm. This is the show for avid readers and those that should be avid readers on the Voice America Kids channel. Now, here's your host.
Hi, thank you and welcome to Bookworm. I'm Lindsay Marie, and we're going to read some Christmas books right now. Okay, so to start off with, we're going to read The Night Before Christmas, and we're going to read the introduction, which I think talks about why this book is called The Night Before Christmas. Okay, let's start. And The Night Before Christmas is by Clement C. Moore, illustrated by Kristen Brigham, I think. In 1822, a New York Seligerman man named Clement Clark Moon spun together Christmas memories for his children. The poem he wrote featured a red suit Santa and reindeer drawn sleigh. A never empty sack of toys and stockings hung expectantly above the fireplace. He called it a visit from St. Nicholas and was published anonymously in a newspaper in Troy, New York. It captured the public's imaginations. The poem opening line, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas," soon replaced the original title. One reason Moore's poem had endured is that it is a joy to read aloud. Beginning in hushed suspense, the poem builds to a dramatic crescendo as the roll king verses usher the mysterious midnight visitor, a tale of application and wonder. The Night Before Christmas has become a holiday tradition in itself for many families. So as you open these pages, whether for a first Christmas or to recall the past, celebrate and share the timeless joys of this enchanting holiday. 'Twas the night before Christmas when all through the house not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled all snug in their beds while visions of sugar plums danced in their heads. And Mama in her handkerchief and I in my cap, I had just settled down for a long winter's nap. When out on the lawn there rose such a clatter, I sprang from my bed to see what was the matter. Away to the window I flew like a flash. I tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the breast of the new-fallen snow gave a luster of midday to the to objects below. When what to my wondering eye should appear but a miniature sleigh with 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old driver so lively and quick, I knew in a moment it must be St. Nick. More rapid than eagles, his courses they came, and that he whistled and shouted and called them by name. Now Dasher, now Dancer, now Prancer and Vixen, on Comet, on Cupid, on Donner and Blitzen. To the top of the porch, to the top of the wall, now dash away, dash away, dash away all. As dry leaves before the wind wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up on the housetop, the courses they flew with a sleigh of little toys and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, I heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof. As I drew my head, I was turning around down the chimney. Saint Nicholas came with the bound. He was all dressed in fur from his head to his foot, and clothes were all tarnished in ashes and soot. A bundle of toys he had flung on his back, and looked like a peddler just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, and his nose was like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. The stump of a pipe he held tight in his teeth, and the smoke encircled his head like a wreath. He had a broad face and tiny round and a little round belly that shook when he laughed like a bowl full of jelly. He was chubby and plump and a right jolly old elf, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of myself. A wink of his eye and a twist of his head soon gave me to know I had nothing to dread. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work and filled all the stockings and turned with a jerk. And laying his finger aside his nose and giving a nod, and up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team, gave a whistle, and they all flew away like the down of a thistle. But I heard him exclaim when he drove out of sight, "Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night." And that was The Night Before Christmas by Clement C. Moore, illustrated by Christian Brigham. Let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network.
Looking for a show about your favorite movies, stars, and DVD releases? Get ready for Kids First Coming Attractions on the Voice America Kids channel. Your hosts, all eight of them, have been selected by Kids First as film critics through a national competition. Each week, they will preview new movies before you see them, walk the red carpet with the stars, and will review the latest DVDs. Our hosts range from ages 7 to 14 to give you a wider kids' perspective. Kids First Coming Attractions is heard every Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific on Voice America Kids.
Get the news on our shows and other happenings by following us on Twitter. Find us at VoiceAmericaTRN or Twitter.com/VoiceAmericaTRN.
Do you think that you can't change the political system in our country? Well, one host is doing that and started at age 13. Join Connor Brantley for Hello, the Future is Calling. Our show takes an inside look at what's going on in national, state, and local government from a new and very unique perspective. Connor holds our elected officials accountable and will bring you an unbiased look at what's really going on. Listen for Hello, the Future is Calling every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Kids. Help make a difference. Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Bookworm. I'm Lindsay Marie, and let's get back to our books. Hey, Perfect Snowman, written and illustrated by Preston McDaniels. There once was a boy who lived in a very large house with very high walls all around it. He wore the finest clothes and went to the finest school, and each night he sat himself to a perfectly fine dinner before going off to bed. On winter morning, the boy awoke to find the world outside his window covered in newly fallen snow. It was a wonderful and wet and heavy snow, the sort that was perfect for making things like a snowman, which was just what the boy decided to do. So he put on his coat and his cap and hurried downstairs to find the things he needed. He fetched the finest carrot from the kitchen and several perfectly round lumps of coal from the cellar. And when no one was looking, he took his father's finest hat, favorite scarf, and his best umbrella from the hall. Then he stepped outside to the into the cold morning air and began building the perfect snowman. He began by rolling these three perfectly round balls, and each one was slightly larger than the one before. Then he found the perfect strong sticks from the oak tree that grew straight and tall outside his window and used them for arms. When he was finished, it was plain for all to see that this was the finest snowman a boy had ever made. Neighborhood children peeked over the walls to see it. And people passing on the street stopped by to say how truly remarkable it was. All the while, Snowman just stood quietly listening to the kind things that they said about him. And the more he listened, the more he came to believe that they said was true. So it went on for hours that wonderful wintry day. But even the best times must eventually come to an end, and the boy was called in to supper. The snowman slowly looked about, curious to see if anyone was left to admire him. But all he saw was the warm glow of light shining through the windows as the world around him began to settle down for a long night. Standing alone in the darkness, the snowman waited for the young boy to come out and back outside. But the cold night deepened and darkened, and the boy did not return. Where there was no giggling or children to peek over the walls, and not a single soul passing by on the street. The only things in sight were old rabbit and her children sniffing about the snow-covered garden. At first, the rabbit didn't know what to think of the snowman, so she kept herself at a safe distance. But when she noticed the handsome carrot in the middle of his face, she became quite excited and crept closer. "Pardon me," she said, "but would you mind sharing some of that old carrot with me and my children?" The snowman grew angry at the rabbit for saying such a terrible thing. "That old carrot just happens to be my nose," he snarled, "and it's a very fine nose at that." "Oh, I beg your pardon," squeaked the rabbit, feeling rather ashamed for what she had said. "Why, I certainly didn't mean to offend you. It's just that, well, there's nothing to eat." The snowman, nearly trembling with rage, roared, "So you thought you might as well come begging for my beautiful nose? Please, kind sir, it's nothing like that at all," wept the rabbit. "It's not for me I beg, but for my children. They are so cold and haven't had a scrap of food for who knows how long." The snowman looked down at the rabbit shivering broad and for just a moment. He felt his icy heart begin to thaw. "I suppose I would still be as nearly perfect without my nose," he thought. So he reluctantly plucked the carrot from his face and placed it onto the tiny paws before him. The graceful rabbit and her children fled to the shadows with their treasure, leaving the snowman behind to rub the empty place where his nose had once. "Such wretched little creatures," he muttered. "I suppose it comes from not being perfect." Then settled himself down again, waiting for the boy to return to make things better. Several hours had passed, and the boy was nowhere in sight. Along the street, one by one, the warm glowing disappeared from windows, and clouds began to cover the moon. The snowman was beginning to feel quite alone and altogether forgotten, but still thought himself very much perfect. When a cat came wandering along the garden wall and stopped by for a visit. This night's not fit for a man nor beast, is it? said the cat. I don't really mind it so much, replied the snowman. Then he looked away. He thought it was rather beneath him to discuss the weather with the neighborhood stray. No, I suppose you wouldn't, with this cat, said a cat with a sigh. This bitter cold seems to be your cup of tea, but it's nearly more than I can bear. Would it be too much to ask if I may borrow your hat and your scarf? The snowman laughed at the cat for asking such a foolish question. Why would I want to give you these fine things that I wear so well? A sorry creature like you would not mostly spoil them with fleas or lose them catching some rat down an alley. The cat hung his head and sighed. It's true that I'm not perfect, but I have never known an evening for a fire or a kind lap or a bowl of warm milk at the end of the day. But I must to get by this in this world. So won't you please show me some pity? The snowman looked the old cat over carefully. His hair was thin and his body was scarred and shivering from the cold. Once again, the snowman felt his icy heart melt just a little and removed his hat and his scarf and gave them to the cat. The snowman watched him disappear into the darkness. The snowman watched the cat disappear into the darkness and began to wonder how much worse things could be. All that was left of him was now three balls of snow, several lumps of coal, and an umbrella. Worst of all, he was beginning to wonder if the boy would ever come back to make things better. Snow began to fall over the sleeping town. In the beginning, it fell softly, but in time it grew into a wicked storm. The tall branches creaked and cracked and thrashed back and forth, desperately trying to stand against the bitter wind. Through it all, the snowman waited for the boy to return. But with each lonely passing hour, the snowman, once melting heart, grew colder again. He hated himself for taking pity on the rabbits and the cat. And he wished he could take everything back so he could be perfect once again. Quite to his surprise, he heard a tiny voice call out of the darkness. Excuse me, sir, may I please have a piece of coal? Before him stood an angel-like little girl who seemed to appear out of nowhere, all alone and dressed in tatters. Her feet were wrapped in rags and her lips quivered from the cold. Her face was beautiful but as pale as the snow. She looked up at the snowman and spoke again. Please, Mr. Snowman, I am so cold. May I please some of your coal to keep me warm? Just then, something remarkable happened. For one shining moment, the snowman had forgotten about the rabbits, that ate his nose, the cat who wore his clothes, and how perfect he had once began. He forgot about himself altogether and bowed slowly before the little girl, allowing the lumps of coal to fall one by one into her waiting apron. Then he handed her his umbrella to keep off the wind and snow. The angelic-like girl hugged and kissed him softly and whispered, "Oh, thank you, dear sir. Your kindness will never be forgotten." She turned away as if for the last time and vanished into the storm. The next morning came, and then another, but the boy... The next morning came and another, but the boy never returned to make things better, and the little girl never appeared again. One bright morning, the sun rose and woke the trees, the grass and the flowers, telling them winter was over and the time had finally come to grow again. The air was filled with sweet smells of spring, but the snowman had already begun to melt away into a puddle. The sun took the puddle, drop by drop, far above the large house with the high walls and around it, to a place where the air was cold and clear and the stars shone brightly. There the snowman woke to a wondrous sight. Before him was a little girl all dressed in tatters. Her face was pure and beautiful as newly fallen snow. She smiled sweetly and said, "Hello, Miss Snowman. I have been waiting for you for a very long time. Won't you please come and stay with me?" And so he remained there with her together forever, just as the two of them, as perfectly happy as they could be. And that was A Perfect Snowman, written and illustrated by Preston McDaniels. Let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids Network.
When you're 12 years old, it seems as if nobody understands what you go through. You're not quite a teenager yet, but you're definitely not a little kid anymore. Tune in to Life at 12 for the answers and support you need to get through this time in your life. Your hosts have some amazing life experiences, and because of this, they have the know-how to get you through 12 and on to 13 and beyond. It's a tough point in your life right now. Get the advice you need on Life at 12, Monday afternoons at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern, on the Voice America Kids channel.
The future of online TV is here.
View exclusive content from your favorite talk radio hosts and new programs that you can't see anywhere else. Visit voiceamerica.tv today.
What do you want to do? Are you interested in the performing arts? If so, make sure you tune in to the Angel and Harmony Show. Angel and Harmony have experience singing, acting, and performing in general, and want to help you live out your dreams of the future. Whether you are interested in acting, modeling, dancing, or singing, this is the show for you. We'll even give you the scoop on being behind the scenes if you're a little shy. The Angel and Harmony Show is heard live every Thursday at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel.
Looking for an on-air community where teens talk and the world listens? Tune in to Express Yourself, an entertaining adolescent fusion radio program where passion and possibility populate the airwaves. Our vivacious teen hosts and star-studded field reporters from around the country offer stimulating segments and invigorating viewpoints connecting with the world campus of young people. We'll talk with cool celebrities, exhilarating experts, and tenacious teens with experience. Tuesdays at noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Kids. Express yourself.
Welcome back to Bookworm. I'm Lindsay Marie, and let's get back to books. I know this is off of the Christmas topic that we are approaching, but when I was at home, I grabbed a bunch of random books, and decided to read them. So this book might be familiar to you. It's Panda Bear, Panda Bear, What Do You See? By Bill Martin Jr. Pictures by Eric Carle. Panda Bear, Panda Bear, what do you see? I see a bald eagle soaring by me. Bald eagle, what do you see? I see a water buffalo charging by me. Water buffalo, what do you see? I see a spider monkey swinging by me. Spider monkey, what do you see? I see a green sea turtle swimming by me. Green sea turtle, what do you see? I see a macaroni penguin strutting by me. Macaroni penguin, what do you see? I see a sea lion splashing by me. Sea lion, what do you see? I see a red wolf sneaking by me. Red wolf, what do you see? I see a whooping crane flying by me. Whooping crane, what do you see? I see a black panther strolling by me. Black panther, what do you see? I see a dreaming child watching over me. Dreaming child, what do you see? I see a panda bear, a bald eagle, a water buffalo, a spider monkey, a green sea turtle, a macaroni penguin, a sea lion, a red wolf, a whooping crane, and a black panther. All the wild and free. That's what I see. And that was Panda Bear, What Do You See? By Bill Martin Jr., illustrated by Eric Carle. Now we're going to read Milton. And I don't exactly know who this is authored by, but I think it's by Hayde. Yeah, it's by Hayde. We don't know her last name, but Hayde. Okay. And then, it's Hayde Arlden. Hayde Arlden. Once I was little. Now I am big. My name is Milton. I am an exceptional cat. I am extremely handsome and I have a curious nose. Here, smell good. There, even better smell. I see everything, day or night. I have very velvet paws. Very elegant. I have retractable claws. Very sharp. And expressive ears. This means do not come one step closer. My days are very busy. I am fearless. Nothing escapes me. I am an excellent hunter. Hello, little mouse. When I care to give it a chase. Anyway, I take my meals in the kitchen. My bowl is always full. Life is good. I am Milton. And that was Milton by Hayde Arndan. Arndalden, whatever called it. Okay, now we're going to read one of my mom's favorites and one of my favorites. You might have heard of this one before. I think we might have already read this one. We haven't? I don't know. Okay. It's called The Kissing Hand by Audrey Penn. Okay, let's start with the foreword. The Kissing Hand is a story of a child who confronts a difficult situation, and for the child within each of us who sometimes need reassure. It's a gentle text with vibrant illustrations. Remind me of a classic children's books I enjoyed with my own mom. I enjoyed with my own children and left me with the warm, wonderful feeling that is the test of a true children's classic. Even before this book was considered a publication by the Child Welfare League of America, Audrey Penn had presented her own story to the children in schools, libraries, and children's hospitals. I am delighted that now it can reach a wilder audience and enable people to face many kinds of challenges with the confidence to cope. A child entering a new school or going away to camp, a child entering a foster care or residential care, a child facing a temporary separation from loved ones or the death of a parent, grandparent, or other special person, even a fearful adult will find reassure in these pages. Parents and others who care for children will find an unforgettable way to communicate the message that all of us most need to hear: you are loved. Now let's read The Kissing Hand by Audrey Penn, illustrations by Ruth E. Harper and Nancy M. Leek. Chester Raccoon stood at the edge of his forest and cried. "I don't want to go to school," he told his mother. "I want to stay home with you. I want to play with my friends, and I want and play with my toys and read books and swing on my swing. Please, may I stay home with you?" Mrs. Raccoon took Chester by the hand and nuzzled him on the ear. "Sometimes we all have to do things we don't want to do," she told him gently, "even if they seem strange and scary at first. But you will love school once you start. You'll make new friends and play with new toys and read new books and swing on new swings. Besides," she added, "I know a wonderful secret that will make your nights at school seem warm and cozy as your days at home." Chester wiped away his tears and looked interested. "A secret? What kind of secret?" "A very old secret," said Mrs. Raccoon. "I learned it from my mother, and she learned it from hers. It's called the Kissing Hand." "The Kissing Hand?" asked Chester. "What's that?" "I'll show you." Mrs. Raccoon took Chester's left hand and spread open his tiny fingers into a fan. Leaning forward, she kissed Chester right in the middle of his palm. Chester felt his mother's kiss rush from his hand up his arm and into his heart. Even his silky black mass tingled with a special warmth. Miss Raccoon smiled. "Now," she said, told Chester, "whenever you feel lonely and need a little loving from home, just press your hand to your cheek and think, 'Mommy loves you. Mommy loves you.' And that very kiss will jump to your face, and your face will fill you with toasty warm thoughts." She took Chester's hand and carefully wrapped his fingers around the kiss. "Now, do be careful not to lose it," she teased him. "But don't worry. When you open your hand and wash your food, I promise the kiss will stick." Chester loved his kissing hand. Now he knew his mother's love would go with him wherever he went, even to school. Chester took his mother's hand in his own and unfolded her large, unfamiliar fingers into a fan. Next, he leaned forward and kissed her on the center of her left hand. Now you have the kissing hand too," he told her with a gentle goodbye and "I love you." Chester turned and danced away. Mrs. Raccoon watched Chester scamper across the tree limb and enter school. And as the hoot owl rang in the new school year, she pressed her left hand to her cheek and smiled. The warmth from Chester's kiss filled her heart with special words. Chester loves you, it sang. Chester loves you. I love you. And that was The Kissing Hand by Audrey Penn. Illustrations by Ruth E. Harper and Nancy M. Leek. Let's take a break. I'm Lindsay Marie, and you're listening to Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network.
Bookworm is a show for the reader and those that should probably be reading a little more. We'll tackle the classics, the bestsellers, and the brand new works that you won't be able to put down. Your host will be combing the pages of them all and letting you know what needs to be in your personal library and what might be better reading for the bathroom. Tune into Bookworm, airing Thursdays at 3 p.m. Pacific Time and 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Kids channel. We promise that listening will be just like delving into a good book.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media.
Can you keep up?
What does it mean to be a Supergirl? It's all about acceptance, respect, healthy relationships, and how to deal with peer pressure. It's all about real-life issues that girls face every day. Join your hosts as they talk about hobbies, friendships, dealing with bullies, and living life as a Supergirl. Be sure to tune in every week for Supergirl Guide, the radio show, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on the Voice America Kids channel. With some support and knowing that you're not alone, it makes all the difference in the world.
Put that book down and listen. You're tuned in to Bookworm on Voice America Kids. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Bookworm on Voice America Kids Network. I'm Lindsay Marie, and let's read another book called Do Princes Wear Hiking Boots? This book is especially for girls, so girls, if you're listening, you might want to listen to this too. Girls, if you're listening, okay, girls, if you are listening, please listen to this book. Okay, good. Do Princesses Wear Hiking Boots? By Karma Lavinga Coyle. Illustrated by Mike Gordon and Carr Gordon. And I got this book when I was really little, so I didn't really know how to write my name right, so it looks kind of weird because I did an L, an I, and then a backwards N, a backwards D, a backwards S, backwards Y, and the only one that was right was my E, was my Y, my L, and an I. So L-I-Y was my only words, only letters that I wrote correctly. And they were all capitals except for the D. Mommy, do princesses wear hiking boots when they wish to take scenic routes? Do princesses ride tricycles? Yes, even two-wheel bicycles. Do princesses climb trees? Is there a better way to catch the breeze? Do princesses like to walk in the rain? They dance through puddles without refrain. Do princesses play in the sand and dirt if they're wearing jeans and a messy old shirt? Do princesses have to do any chores? They clean their drawers and sweep their floors. Mommy, do princesses follow the rules? That's one of the things they learned in school. Do princesses eat the crust of their bread? They save them for the ducks instead. Do princesses have a favorite vegetable? They find them all delectable. Do princesses drink sparkling punch? They prefer lemonade with lunch. Will princesses laugh? Do they sometimes snort? They have manners of every sort. Do princesses cry and make a fuss? They have bad hair days, just like us. Do princesses snore when they fall asleep after they've counted 500 sheep? Mommy, do princesses seem at all like me? Look inside yourself and see. A princess is a place in your heart. And in this book, one of the features that I think is really cool is that when you're done with the book, and there's a page that I just read that was a princess is a place inside of your heart, and it actually has a mirror in it, and you get to look at yourself. So that was Do Princesses Wear Hiking Boots? By Karma Lavinga Coyle, illustrated by Mike Gordon and Cara Gordon. And now for our last book, called The Hello Goodbye Window, by Norton Juster and Chris Rashika. Nana and Papa live in a big house in the middle of town where there's a brick path that goes to the back porch. But before you get there, you pass right by the kitchen window. That's the hello goodbye window. It looks like a regular window, but it's not. The kitchen is where Nana and Poppy are most of the time. So you can climb up on the flour barrel and tap on their window. Then duck down and they won't know who did it. Or you can press your face against the glass to frighten them. If they're not in the kitchen, you can't do any of those things. You have to wait till next time. If they see you first, they wave and make silly faces. Sometimes Nana peek-a-boos me, which always makes me laugh. So I get lots of extra fun and hellos before I even get inside. Just look at the kitchen. It's so big. With a table you can color on and lots of drawers take stuff out and play with. But if you can't touch anything under the sink, you could get very sick. There are shelves full of glass jars with lots of everything in them, a step stool so I can wash my hands, and all kinds of pictures from the olden days. Nana says she even used to give me a bath in the sink when I was little. Really? Sometimes Poppy plays his harmonica for me. He can only play one song, Oh Susanna. But he can play it a lot of different ways. He can play it slow or fast. He can play it sitting down or standing up. He even says he can play it and drink a glass of water at the same time. But I've never seen him do it. When I stay over, we have our supper in the kitchen, too. And when it's dark outside, we look at our reflections in the window. It works just like a mirror, except it's not in the bathroom. It looks like we're outside, looking in. Poppy says, "What are you doing out there? Come right in and have your dinner." But I say, "I'm right here with you, Poppy." And he looks at me with a funny face. Just before I go up to bed, Nana turns off all the lights and we stand by the window and say goodnight to the stars. "Do you know how many stars there are?" Neither do I, but she knows them all. In the morning, the first place we go is back into the kitchen, where there's the window waiting for us. You can look out and say good morning to the garden, or see if it's going to rain or be nice. And if you see the dog next door doing stuff in Nana's flower bed, she hates that. Sometimes Poppy says in real loud voice, "Hello, world. What have you got for us today?" Nobody ever answers, but he doesn't care. Poppy makes breakfast, and he says it's his specialty. "My favorite is oatmeal, but with bananas and raisins that you can't see because he hides them down inside. I find them all." When I get dressed, I help Nana in the garden. It's a very nice garden, but there's a tiger who lives behind the bush in the back, so I don't ever go there. I ride my bike, too. "Not in the street, please," or "collect sticks and acorns." "Not in the house, please," or "just kick my ball around." Sometimes, even when it's hot, Poppy chases me with the hose and I yell, "Stop it, Poppy, stop it." But when he does, I ask him to do it again. Nana just shakes her head. When I get tired and I come in to take my nap, nothing happens until I get up. Then sometimes I sit by the hello goodbye window and watch. Nana says it's a magic window, and anybody can come along and see you when you at least expect it. Tyrannosaurus Rex. He just stinks, so he doesn't come around much. The pizza delivery guy, pepperoni and cheese. He knows that's my favorite. The Queen of England. Nana is English, you know, so the Queen likes to come over for tea. They all could come, and a lot more if they want. And if they do, I'll see them first. Mommy and Daddy pick me up after work. I'm glad because I know we're going home, but it makes me too sad, because I also have to leave Nana and Poppy. You can be happy and sad at the same time, you know. It just happens that way sometimes. When we leave, we always stop at the window and blow kisses goodbye. When you look from outside, Nana and Papa's house has lots of windows, but there's only one hello goodbye window, and it's right where you need it. When I get my own house someday, I'm going to have a special hello goodbye window too. By that time, I might be a Nana myself. I don't know who the Poppy will be, but I hope we can play the harmonica. Oh, and that was The Hello Goodbye Window by Norton Jester and Chris Rashika. Thank you for listening to Bookworm. You've been listening to Bookworm. My name is Lindsay Marie. The show is produced by KidStar for the Voice America Kids Network. Up next, a track from the KidStar Album of the Month.
You've been listening to Bookworm on the Voice America Kids channel. We'll be here at the same time next week, so be sure to tune in. Now, how many books do you think you can get through before our next show?
Bookworm, and this is our KidStar Album of the Month. Our featured song is "Get Close to You" by Jolene with Chris James.
I'm missing you, girl. Yeah.
choo-choo.
You're my angel.
'Cause I know that you wanna get close to you, baby.
Girl, it's Christmas time and I'm missing you.
Well, are you going to help me put the balls on the Christmas tree, Chris?
It'd be so good to just be around you during this time of the year.
What do you mean, just this time of the year?
You know, I think about you all the time because you truly are my angel.
And so are you, Chris.
I want to get close to you, baby. 'Cause no one can love me the way that you do.
Sweet baby,
baby, you.
Oh, my baby, pretty baby,
pretty baby.
I wanna get close to you, baby. 'Cause no one can love me the way that you do.
Listening to the Kidstar Album of the Month. That was Get Close to You by Jolene with Chris James. For more information, go to kidstar.org.